ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows roll. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Storms of life may rage, and the billows round you roll. He can calm life's troubled sea, as he did in days of old. As upon life's sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. I'm so glad he sails with me. Master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey?
my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave Him full control, and He placed me on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. I think I'm coming in loud and clear, but I'm not sure. You can let me know if everything's working okay, if we are loud enough here. I have no idea. I haven't been here for so long that I don't remember where everything was. So you let me know if we're coming in clear here. Lots of comments here. So let's just see if everything's working correctly. Sounds good, says somebody. Okay, good. All right. I was just doing some computer work over here because something that I had planned didn't work out, of course. And back in the OPBC concrete bunker here, deep in the northern hemisphere here. And anyway, so what an amazing time and trip and challenge. You know, what a mixture of life, so to speak, as we continue on and for the Lord, and what blessings and testings and trials and tribulations befall us along the way, and challenges, I will tell you that for sure. But in it all, God delivers and God keeps us safe and keeps us on the winning side. So let's see. I don't know who beautiful Alexis was, but Hannah, I'm glad you got rid of her. I'm thinking probably that is a troll. And one of my many trolls that love to see me on here and cause massive amounts of trouble and just to generally annoy me, they do that quite often. Anyway, so whatever. Okay, they're gone. Oh, I don't know what happened. Something happened to my chat. It just all disappeared on me. So type in something else up there because my chat disappeared to let me know I'm still connected there. I have no idea what happened, but bots everywhere. And that's not something I missed when I was over in Europe. I didn't miss bots. I did not miss being being accosted by very nasty and perverted women along the way there online. But anyway, so yeah, definitely we are back at it again here in the OPBC studios, and I needed some rest. I'll tell you what, jet lag got the best of me too. And we won't go into all that stuff, that's for sure. We want to keep things pleasant and in the right spirit. But anyway, just it definitely did. It was a challenge over there and a challenge back. But lots of good blessings along the way, and hope to share many of those things with you as time permits. Just to give you a update as far as my schedule goes here, I will, Lord willing, do another broadcast on Friday, and then I will probably do one on Monday. Wednesday, I'm not sure. I think my wife has a doctor's appointment I have to take her to. We got to get one of those telegrams done, so I got to go there and see that with the baby. So, We're gonna be over there. So I'm not sure I'll be doing one Wednesday, and then Thursday I am leaving for about 2 weeks, a week and a half. The timing of it, I wish it was later than that. I wish it was later than that. I wish I was taking my vacation a little bit later than that. But here's why. My wife is getting more and more with child, and it's not easy to go on the road and get away when you have seven children and you have one in the hopper, and the more energy you expel, the longer time goes, the more of a challenge it gets to be for her. Also, it works out better for the preaching schedule as well. The preaching schedule, starting in June all the way till the end of summer, is extremely hectic. We are preaching all the Pride events that come up in June. We are preaching the fairs that come up in July. We are preaching the outdoor events that come up. We are preaching outside of concerts, outside of family events, outside of all of those things. So I don't want to miss those things. And I need to be here for that, not to mention all the broadcasts that we'll be doing along the way as well, and all that good stuff. So there's a lot of factors into me taking that time. And lest any of you think that this 2 weeks in Europe was a vacation, I could convince you very quickly that it wasn't. And that's all I'm going to say about that. It was a challenge to say the least, and a grind, but a good one in a lot of ways. So, but anyway, it's just the truth of it. We were running nonstop, and it was quite the challenge, as Carl and Mary can attest to that. Fabian 22 says, "How could it be a vacation when you had to deal with Carl?" Well, amen, brother. Amen. That's right. It was a trying of the faith that worketh patience. But Mary did learn a brand new word from me that is the universal word. If Mary's on here, Mary, are you on here? The universal word, Mary, that you learned, that you will never forget that I taught you. It is the absolute universal word that transcends all language barriers. That's right, Mary. That's right. Nuh-uh. I taught her that. Nuh-uh. I taught her the best word ever. Nuh-uh. And she's added that to her arsenal of bilingual words that cross all language barriers. I told her, for instance, Mary, you're walking around a bunch of people that don't speak English, and they don't speak your language. And very quietly, you can walk past them and not even look at them, and just go, nuh-uh. And nobody knows you're talking to them, but you're laughing inside so hard. You can't stop laughing because you just said nuh-uh to people you don't even know. And they don't even understand what you're saying. Great. It is. It's absolutely great. All right. Exactly. So Mary understands that word now. And one of her favorite words. So there we go. If I didn't teach him anything, that's what I taught him, I guess. But no. We learned lots of things, that's for sure. And by the way, let me just say some things to you here, because you're probably wondering, how come you didn't do more videos over there? What were you doing? Just messing around all day? Well, actually, we were dragging tail all day. We were running everywhere, nonstop. And by the time we got back to the house, we're all like, ugh. And to try to get the video ready, we just couldn't do it. Like, to get the video going and get the stuff, you know, to be able to do it, it just, like, we couldn't. But we recorded, like, a terabyte of information. So we have it. And we're going to be using it in the months to come. Lots of good stuff will come from that. Oh, my goodness. The Vatican was absolutely spooky. I want to talk about spooky. Holy buckets. Those people are creepy. I also want to do a video sometime on the security in the Vatican. Because, what in the world is this? Let's see, let me get back to my account. Okay, there we go. All right, let's see. Wait, what am I doing? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I still don't have all me brains working yet, but you'll have to bear with me. And I had to do this the worst way possible, these pictures here, because I couldn't get, it wouldn't let me type into my iCloud at all. It kept fighting me. But we will end up talking about John Bunyan today. And, click on, oh, that's going to be good right there. Just put that over there for now. And let's put this one here. What's this one? Oh, this one's a really good one. This is the good one, right? Yep, that's the good one. I'm going to give you a chronology of John Bunyan's life as well. Give you some understanding of him. Then give you some pictures here. Hopefully I have all my pictures here. The ones I need anyway for this. Let's see. Hope so. Oh, man, I forgot a couple. I got to look for those. Okay, so I'll be looking for those, but we'll get to that in a little while here, okay? No worries. No worries, mate. No worries. Okay. Well, let me just say hi to some folks here as well. Barry's on here. Rachel's on here. Michelle's on here. Carl Winters. Couldn't keep him off of here. Carrie. My lovely wife is on here. Brother Ross. Brother Ross Duncan. Rachel Bicey. Brother Ross. He said he truly shook the windows around George Square. Ah, oh, that's funny. That is funny. Because I tried to. I was like, you know what? That building down there, I want to go. I just want to blast it as loud as I can all the way through that square. That's what I wanted to do. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'll have to work on my accents. My brain is still has the London fog. But I will tell you some things that I'm happy for. Number one, I'm happy to be home. And number two, I'm very happy that I don't care what time it is in London right now. Very happy, ecstatic. I don't care what time it is in London. But you know what London did for me when I went over there? It broke me of energy drinks. I have not had an energy drink in over 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks now. And I don't want to have any more. So I broke the energy drink thing. And like the aspartame stuff for the most part, I quit drinking all that. And I picked up some Pellegrino. Look at that. Right there. Anyway, water. Sparkling mineral water. So it was an interesting event. Now I can't talk about all that. You know what I got to do? I got to find some. Well, I'll talk to you. Mind the gap. Carl got me a magnet that says mind the gap, because every time you get on those, what are those things called? The tube? Mind the gap. Every time you get off of it, it goes mind the gap. Why don't you just say, watch your step anyway? What's the matter with you people over there? Anyway, they're very kind people. Everybody in London was nice to me, except I was like a big barbarian that talked louder than anybody in London. Everywhere I went in London, I was like, everything sounds like a library. Everything sounds like a library in London. Nobody talks loud. Everybody's quiet. It sounds like a library in London. Everywhere you go. So me, I'm just talking like normal, and I sound like a loudmouth New Yorker or something. Because I'm just talking normal, and all of a sudden I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, I'm the knuckle dragon ape here. I'm the knuckle dragon ape. And they're all very proper. And me, I'm just like, hey, you got any good food? I'm hungry. And they're like, mind the gap. Mind the gap. They kept telling me to mind the gap wherever I went. I was like, I don't believe in the gap theory. I don't believe in it. I'm not going to mind the gap. I don't believe in it. But they kept telling me, mind the gap. That's a phrase I learned. Let's see. Hold on a second. I got to find some more secret files here. Boy. I was looking for the Gate Beautiful. Sorry, I had to do this a really generic way. Generic day. And you'll just have to remember, I'm not a professional. I've never played one on television in my life. The way it goes. No, it's not that one either. Oh, not. Okay. Hang on a second. I'm going somewhere with all this. Give me a second. Remember, my brains are still like halfway between London right now. Well, actually, never mind. I won't go into that. But I'll find him someday. Anyway, don't worry about that right now.
talk about where my brain.
Got it. I think
I've got it.
It was really interesting though. I had a great conversation with the lady on the plane though. This nice lady, I can't remember her name. She was an English lady. She was from the London area and she was married to an Italian man. And we had a great conversation about all kinds of things for a 2-hour plane ride. Man, that went fast. I was talking to her about the Lord, and I witnessed to her. It was a blessing. I was able to witness to her. And it was just a blessing. It really was. Okay, so it was a blessing, though, to talk to that lady and to witness to her. She is definitely against vaccines, and she was against a lot of the things that were going on. She understood conspiracies, a lot of the conspiracy theory things. She understood many things about what was going on. She understood the Vatican. She understood. It was kind of amazing, all the things that she did understand. But we had a good conversation, good witness opportunity. And hopefully, Lord willing, she'll check it out and see, you know, the rest of the ministry and everything else. Because she asked me at the end, you know, like, well, what's the solution? And I said, Jesus Christ is the solution. You know, we believe that we're to occupy until he comes. And that's what we're doing, you know. So. It was good, though. It was a great conversation there with her and. Okay. Perfect. Talking about. You'll find out. No worries, mate. There. This would have been a lot easier in a PowerPoint, by the way. Perfect. There we go. Okay. So there's more videos to come, though. Okay. Lots more documentaries to come, many other things. That will come along the way in the time to come here. So just don't think that we've even touched the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to do, because we haven't. We have a lot more to go. So we have, like I said, a terabyte of information to share with everyone, and we'll use that in various different ways. So anyway, we're going to talk about John Bunyan today, too. Yeah, loads of pictures, too, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to have to show you some pictures in a weird... Yeah, but anyway, that's not the right one. There we go. Stuff right there. Okay. And again, just remember, my brains are all over the board here. they're still not working the way they need. I'm doing the best I can here, by the grace of God, to see this all work. So it's my first broadcast back here, and yeah. So anyway, let's see. I hope you all had a good time watching some of the things there from Europe that we did, but lots more to come. So I didn't get the Neutner there. I have to ship the Neutner to Carl. I did not make the Neutner. Did not make it there. But that's okay. We'll get it to Carl. All in due time. All in due time, friends. So we have, that's an old broadcast. That's, let's see here. Okay, good. So we have Rumble rumbling. Rumble's working. Right? So good deal. Rumble is on. Let me check Sermon Audio and see if it's working. Sermon Audio is working. People got to get used to me being back on. They thought I fell off the planet. That's okay. They probably feel like I have. We are going to talk about John Bunyan, though. When we were over in England, we've got to visit John Bunyan. And you know what? Hey, how about we do that? We didn't get to visit John Bunyan. We got to visit John Bunyan's grave. That'd be weird if we visited John Bunyan, wouldn't it? But that's a whole nother broadcast. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, we got to visit over there where John Bunyan pastored for many years and where he was thrown in prison for the faith. And we're going to look at like a timeline of his and a transcript from him and all that, a transcript from his trial and everything that took place there as well. But just some interesting things to note about him. I think maybe Friday what I'm going to do is like a Q&A, because I'm thinking maybe some of you have a lot of questions you might want to ask me about Europe, about what I saw in Europe, about just how things went. And just different challenges and trials and different questions you might have. And just maybe you have a question about the Vatican, or maybe you have a question about Ireland or Scotland, or maybe a question about, you know, England or some of the historical things that you saw there. And so why don't we on Friday do a Q&A? Okay. That, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll talk about the food. We'll have some food talk. Let's do that. Okay. So let's save that for Friday's broadcast. We will do a Q&A on Europe and the tour, and you know we'll maybe see what we can do about that. Asking questions, and people can make some comments, ask some questions. Maybe they want some information about certain things. So let's do that on Friday. That way, you know, you have something that. That you, if you have something you want to ask about that, you can do that. The preaching in Scotland. Yes, that was a blessing. Those Scotsmen can preach. Yes, they can. They truly can. They can. It was a blessing to be with those men and to preach with them as well. Let's talk about John Bunyan a bit here. And oh, well, listen, yeah, you can talk to me. You can ask me questions about the pizza in England, the pizza in Italy. You could ask me questions about the pasta, the pastries, all kinds of questions. All right? And we'll talk about all sorts of different things. And maybe you have other questions that you want to ask me about those things. We'll give you the opportunity to do that, okay? And all that good stuff. And maybe just the ins and outs of the trips and traveling and how that was in airports. Let's just, we'll go into all that on Friday. And that'll be kind of fun to go through that and And you can ask me about the infamous English breakfast and blood pudding. Yeah. Actually, I lost weight. I lost at least 5 pounds. At least. Probably more than that. I did not eat that much food. The whole time I was there, you can ask Carl, I did not eat that much. I just didn't. I didn't have a big appetite at all. I've ate more since I've come back home than I did when I was over there. But that's for various different reasons that I won't go into right now. But anyway. But that's, yeah. So anyway. No, it wasn't that. Did you pray after you eat? Yeah, we prayed before we ate. Okay. We were burning food up, man, walking. I could not get Carl to eat pork. By the way, ask me about bacon in England. You could ask me that on Friday. All right? I almost broke out when I got to back home to America, and I'm proud to be an American. Almost, but I didn't. Oh, that was an awesome buffet in Scotland. Ross Duncan had 600 plates of food. And I'm sitting there eating like a little girl. Ross is like, they're wonderful, wonderful. I got to do his accent. I got to get it down. I'm not going to try it. I'm too tired yet, but I'll get it down. Oh, man, that was funny. Ross was funny. Anyway. Oh, sorry, Brother Ross. Sorry. Yep. Him and Samuel were having an eating contest, I think. I don't know what the deal was, but boy, they were having it. Anyway, all right. John Bunyan. Who is John Bunyan? John Bunyan was a preacher, a Baptist preacher of the gospel. John Bunyan is the author of one of the most famous books ever written. Show it to you. One of the most famous books ever written. This book, Pilgrim's Progress, was in every home in Britain and in the United States back in the 1800s, probably the 1700s, 1800s. It was literally in every home. If you had a King James Bible, next to it, you had Pilgrim's Progress. It was almost like required reading. And it probably was required reading. Now, there is an audio dramatized version of it. Let's see. I think it's here. Let me find it. Now, I don't agree with these guys, and whoever they are, they just have it on there. But let me see if I can find it. Let's see. It's somewhere around here. Probably won't be able to find it now. Let's see. Let's see. Well, they're just posting it, Carl. They're not the ones that invented that. They're not the ones that put it together. They just post it on their website. I can't find it right now. Search tab, yeah. Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. Whoops. Nope, can't find it. I know it was here somewhere. Anyway, I have no idea where it is. Let's see. Let me look and see if I can find it. Anyway, you can purchase it, though. It is the best one, Jessica. You're absolutely right. Oh, there it is. There it is. Here it is. Okay.
As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den and laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags standing in a certain place. His face was turned away from his own house. He had in his hand a book, and upon his back, a great burden. As I looked, I saw him open the book and read therein. And as he read, he wept and trembled. And not being able longer to contain, he broke out with a most lamentable cry.
What shall I do? Oh, what shall I do?
In this plight, therefore, he went home and restrained himself as long as he could, that his wife and children should not perceive his distress. But he could not long be silent, because that his trouble increased. Wherefore at length he brake his mind to his wife and children, and thus he began to talk to them.
Oh, my dear wife, and you, the children of my bowels, I, your dear friend, am in myself undone by reason of a burden that lieth hard upon me.
Okay, so that is Pilgrim's Progress, the audio version of it. It is the dramatized version of it, but it is very good. And it's free there. You can listen and download it for free right there. And it is very good. I would encourage it. It's very good. So John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress in prison. He was in prison for 12 years. And he was in prison for 12 years for his faith, because he would not take a license. He would not take a license to preach. John Bunyan was, before he was saved, he was in Cromwell's army and he fought for the liberty of England. And he was in Cromwell's army and he fought. At that time, he was an unsaved man, and everybody liked him when he was an unsaved man. Then he got saved, and he got baptized, and he was following the Lord, and he was preaching the gospel. And then nobody liked him anymore. He became enemy number one. And you know, the same country that he protected and the same country that he fought for was the same one that imprisoned him for the faith. Well, this is John Bunyan's Bedford Church right here. This was the Bedford Church, or it's a building, obviously, but this is the building that they had there in Bedford. When you go to, and now it's like got like a coffee shop, and it's kind of funny, really, because it's totally against what John Bunyan would be for, as far as women and being there and running things. And I don't know who runs everything in there now, but that church is still there. But this is the inside of it. Beautiful organ, beautiful place, beautiful chapel. And we're going to give credit to them because they asked that we give credit to them for that and everything like that. And we have no problem doing that for the pictures and everything that they had. Oh, it's a little video. Anyway, but these are the scenes that depict Pilgrim's Progress. Okay? This is in the chapel. Okay? And beautiful chapel. It is beautiful. And, you know, these pictures picture this. Pilgrim is actually, in the allegory, Pilgrim is actually John Bunyan. It's allegory of his life. It's an allegory of a man coming to Christ. And there's a lot of things that, and here is John Bunyan. When I show you the timeline of his life and what he went through, you'll kind of better understand who he is. It's so sad that most people have to ask, who's John Bunyan? They don't know who John Bunyan is. That's crazy to me. That they don't know who John, but that there's people that don't know who John Bunyan is. He was an Anabaptist or a Baptist at the time of right after Cromwell died, and you know he was punished for his faith. He was asked or forced to take a license, and he would not do it to preach. He would not take a license to preach, and. This evangelist is actually John Gifford, the minister that ministered to Bunyan. That's who this is depicting, as he is pointing, Gifford is pointing Bunyan to the way of the cross. He's pointing him to salvation in Jesus Christ. He's pointing him to being saved by the grace of God. That's what he's pointing him to. Okay? And that's what this picture is evangelist. When you read it, when you read the, or you listen to it, which I would recommend you listen to and read it, but when you do, you'll catch that. You'll catch the evangelist pointing them to the way. And it's just a fascinating story. It really is. And very helpful. This is in commemoration of the tercentenary of the publication of Pilgrim's Progress on the 18th of February, 1678. This is John Bunyan. Imagine John Bunyan, a preacher in prison. And I'm going to read you his trial. Now you just remember that what Bunyan believed, and I'll get into that, and we'll get into scripture also with that, but what Bunyan believed is that no man had the right. No government and no church like that, no national church had the right to tell a man what to believe and force him to believe something against his will. He was a true dissident. He was a true Anabaptist. This is the Bedford, this is where we are in the Bedford Museum in Bedford, England. Okay? And here's a beautiful plaque on the wall in memory of Hannah Bunyan, who departed this life in the 15th of February, 1770, aged 76 years. She was great-granddaughter to the Reverend, justly celebrated Mr. Bunyan, who died at London, 31 of August, 1688, aged 60 years, and was buried in Bunhill Fields. I'm going to show you the video. I'm going to show you the pictures from Bunhill Fields where Bunyan is buried in the memorial that's there for him, where there is a stone erected to his memory. He was a minister of the gospel here for 32 years, and during that period suffered 12 years of imprisonment. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. So what a tribute to this man. So you're like, okay, before I show you the rest of these pictures, maybe I ought to show you what happened. I'll give you a timeline of his life. I'll show you some different pictures, okay? I want to read you what's called the Breedlove Papers. And Thomas Breedlove was an English legal scribe whose job it was to record court proceedings. Breedlove passed from the scene around 1675. leaving nearly 1,000 verbatim accounts of primarily minor trials from the period of 1660 to 1675, this during the time of King Charles II. What follows is the transcript of the trial of His Majesty King Charles II against John Bunyan, tinker, and sometimes preacher of a relatively new and strange as well as illegal cult known as the Baptist. See, it wasn't new. Baptists have always been around since the time of the apostles. They weren't always called Baptist because over in the valleys of Piedmont, which I'll take you to sometime when I get back, probably, I will show you the valleys of Piedmont, the cave church. I will show you the examples of what went down in Piedmont. But these men were there. You know, it was said of Bunyan was not an educated man, but it was said by John Owen, the celebrated Puritan John Owen, who wrote some of the most fascinating books ever. John Bunyan said that he would give up all of his education, or not John Bunyan, John Owen said he would give up all his education and everything he had if he could preach like the tinker from Bedford. Because God used him greatly. And is it cold out here? Woo, I am cold. I'm going to have my wife bring me a jacket. I forgot how cold it was in this cave. Anyway, so Thomas Breedlove records all these things. He records what's going on here and what took place and what happened. But remember, they called it a new sect or a new cult, an illegal cult. You see, it was illegal not to join the Church of England. It was illegal not to participate in their church services. It was illegal. So Bunyan was a troublemaker, like those troublesome Baptists wherever they were. Always causing trouble. What was their cause of trouble? Liberty of conscience. Liberty of conscience. They believed that every man had the right to either believe in God or to deny God. And they would suffer the punishment of hell and damnation if they did not believe in the Lord. Hang on one sec. I'll have you know that right here, I have a very stylish sweater here. Looks something akin to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but I got it for $5 on clearance. Huh? How about that? $5 on clearance. Pretty snazzy. Matches the OPBC online. I need to get a little sew it on here, right? Oh, that feels good. I'm cold. All right, anyway. So here we go. Breedlove's language and spelling has been modernized in order to make it easier to read, okay? So it won't be in, like, you know, 1600 English. All right? But it'll be understandable. So it'll be a little bit easier to read it, a little quicker, all that good stuff, okay? So here we go. That's pretty fancy there. Man, I'm telling you. Looking pretty fancy. Somebody's going to think I'm getting rich off my $5 jacket here. All right. So here is John Bunyan's trial that was recorded. Now, remember, John Bunyan is a Baptist, so he believes in liberty of conscience. John Bunyan believes in the right of all men to either accept or reject God, and that the state should not form a religion that would persecute those that disagree with them. See, John Bunyan would be the forerunners of men like John Clark and Obadiah Holmes, who would have that lively experiment in Rhode Island one day, which would be the first free state to ever be able to worship God according to the dictates of your own heart, without being molested and without your fortunes being taken, without your land being stolen from you, without you being beaten, without you being all your guns being taken and thrown out into the wilderness with a bunch of Indians and savages to kill you. Bunyan would have been one of the forerunners of the Baptist. That would be forerunners, okay? All right. Thomas Breedlove was an English legal scholar, though. So here are the proceedings, all right? Being a true account of the trial of John Bunyan, Tinker of Bedfordshire, his lordship Judge Wingate presiding at the courthouse in Bedfordshire on October 3rd in the year of our Lord, 1660. The accused is charged with willful and deliberate violation of various and sundry royal and parliamentary edicts. His trial this day, however, respects a single charge, namely violation of the Conventicle Act, first proposed by her most high and mighty majesty, our late beloved Queen Elizabeth, and reinstated by his beneficent highness, King Charles II. All parties being in place and the witnesses having been sworn, the trial proceeds. Judge Wingate says this: Mr. Bunyan, you stand before this court accused of persistent and willful transgression of the Conventicle Act, which prohibits all British subjects from absenting themselves from worship in the Church of England, and from conducting worship services apart from our church. You come, presumably, with no legal training and yet without counsel. I must warn you, sir, of the gravity of the charge, the harshness of the penalty in the event of your conviction, and the foolhardiness of acting as your own counsel in so serious a matter. Are you cognizant of these facts, and do you understand the charge? Judge Wingate, Bunyan says this: I am and I do, my lord. Judge Wingate says, in truth, I hope you do. Now I hold in my hand the depositions of the witnesses against you. In each case, they have testified that to their knowledge, you have never in your adult life attended services in the church of this parish. Each further testifies that he has observed you on numerous occasions conducting religious exercises in and near Bedford. These depositions have been read to you, have they not? They have, my lord. In that case, then, this court would be profoundly interested in your response to them. Thank you, my lord, and may I say that I am grateful for the opportunity to respond. Firstly, the depositions speak the truth. I have never attended services in the Church of England, nor do I intend ever to do so. Let me stop there and say amen. Because, see, he would not attend those services. He wanted nothing to do with them because he understood what the Bible said. That the church state was wrong. That the doctrine of the Church of England was wrong. And he could not, with liberty of conscience, go to such a place and force himself to worship with people that he did not agree with. Secondly, he said, it is no secret that I preach the word of God whenever, wherever, and to whomever he pleases to grant me opportunity to do so. End quote. See, here's what he's saying basically: hey, I preach wherever God wants me to preach and to who God wants me to preach to. That's important. That's important to understand. That's a Baptist mindset. That is a biblical mindset. Exactly what that is. Having said that, my lord, there is a weightier issue that I am constrained to address. I have no choice but to acknowledge my awareness of the law, which I am accused of transgressing. Likewise, I have no choice but to confess my guilt in my transgression of it. As true as these things are, I must affirm that I neither regret breaking the law nor repent of having broken it. Let me just say this. So Bunyan stops and he says, look, I broke it. Yeah, I have no qualms about admitting that I broke it. At all whatsoever. Because Bunyan is saying, I don't recognize your law as being authority over my faith. The same thing I told the chief of police in Northfield. Same thing I told him when he tried to govern. Same thing I told the government when people wanted me to sign up for 501c3 and have our church be a creature of the state and take a tax identification number and do all those things. Likewise, he said, I have no choice but to confess my guilt. Further, I must warn you that I have no intention in future of conforming to it. See, Bunyan was an honest man. There are a lot of men out there today that sign 501c3 paperwork and they sign, they make their church a creature of the state. They get a tax identification number and they fully intend to disobey the paperwork that they signed. But they sign it and they know they're going to lie when they sign it. Bunyan wouldn't do that. He said, no, I'm not signing it because I'm not going to agree to it because I know I'm not going to do it. As true as these things are, I must affirm that I neither regret breaking the law nor repent of having broken it. Furthermore, I must warn you that I have no intention in future of conforming to it. It is on its face an unjust law, a law against which honorable men cannot shrink from protesting. In truth, my lord, it violates an infinitely higher law, the right of every man to seek God in his own way, unhindered by any temporal power. That, my lord, is my response. Judge Wingate says this. This court would remind you, sir, that we are not here to debate the merits of the law. We are here to determine if you are, in fact, guilty of violating it. Perhaps, says Mr. Bunyan, my lord, that is why you are here. But it is most certainly not why I am here. I am here because you compel me to be here. All I ask is to be left alone to preach and to teach as God directs me. Here's the thing. This reminds me of a comment that Brother Greg Dixon made. Brother Greg Dixon was standing with a bunch of politicians. With some politicians. And he was standing with a bunch of preachers. And they were going to force the churches to collect funds and be employers and to do all these other things. And Brother Dixon, they asked Brother Dixon because he was against 501c3. He was against those things. And here's what he said. He said this, he said, they asked him a question. Brother Dixon, the senator's assistants asked him a question. What do you want from us, Mr. Dixon? And he says, we don't want anything from you, but we want you to leave us alone. And all the other Jerry Falwells and all the other big britches fundamentalists said, no, he's not with us. He's not with us. We want you to help us. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. See, Bunyan said what a true Baptist would say. All I ask is to be left alone to preach and to teach as God directs me. As, however, I must be here, I cannot fail to use these circumstances as an opportunity to speak against what I know to be an unjust and odious edict. Same thing as the edict against the Donatist. Same thing again that Constantine's edicts were against the Donatist preachers and how he wanted to force them. Same thing. Same thing as how the government wanted to force people now. When all the lockdowns were going on and everything like that. They wanted to force them then, didn't they? And what did we want? Just leave us alone. You want to know what we want? Leave us alone. Want to know what I want? Leave us alone. We don't want anything from you. But for you to leave us alone, that's what we want. So Bunyan tells him very straight and plain. Judge Wingate says this, "Let me understand you. You are arguing that every man has a right given him by Almighty God to seek the deity in his own way, even if he chooses without benefit of the English church." Bunyan said, "That is precisely what I am arguing, my lord. Or without benefit of any church." "Do you know what you are saying? What a papist? What of papists and Quakers? What of pagan Mohammedans? Have these the right to seek God in their own misguided way?" "Even these, my lord." See, this is a Baptist distinctive right here. Baptists have always believed this. If you got Baptists now that want to kill Muslims, they want to bomb Muslims, they want to kill, they want to do all these other things, those aren't, or they want to kick them all out of their country if they believe something that's wrong. That's not Bible. That's not a Baptist distinctive. In fact, if you didn't know this, over in Rhode Island, which was the first Baptist state in that sense that recognized Baptist doctrine, individual soul liberty, you know what they did? They let the first Jews over there to have their synagogue over there in liberty without persecuting them. Right? "That is precisely what I'm arguing, my lord, or without benefit of any church. Do you know what you are saying? What of papists and Quakers?" By the way, later, John Bunyan would write a treatise against the Quakers, against their doctrines. But he said they should not be harmed, they should not be molested, they should not have their property taken, they should not be beaten, yes, they are heretics, and yes, their doctrine is heretical, but you should not harm them in any way. You should not touch a hair on their head. You should love them and be kind to them and witness to them and tell them and show them their errors. Because Bunyan had Quakers in prison with him. And yes, they were wrong. But you know, when a Baptist calls a man a heretic, Baptists don't want to kill anybody because they're heretics. We don't want to kill anybody because they're heretics. We want to win them to Christ. We want them to be saved from their error. You can't do that if you're chopping their heads off. Doesn't make them love you very much when you're stealing their property and beating them. Does it? Throwing them in prison for what they believe. Yeah, that's a good way to win them to Christ. See the difference? But you had a bunch of people saying, bomb, 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 Iran. All of them were a bunch of Baptists screaming about murdering all these Muslims and killing all these people. Uh-huh. So these Puritans and these Church of England people were the Church of England people were persecuting the Baptists. We'll talk about Judge Wingate. It's interesting what happened to him. That is precisely what I'm arguing. Bunyan said, even these, my lord. May I ask you if you particularly sympathetic to the views? See, so now they're going to accuse. Now he's going to accuse him. May I ask you if you are particularly sympathetic to the views of these or others, such deviant religious societies? I am not, my lord. See, he said, oh, you must be a heretic. You must believe what they do. No, I don't believe what the Quakers do. I don't have to believe what the Quakers do for me to not want you to kill them or persecute them or throw them in prison and force them to come to your church. They said, oh, you must believe just like they do. Right? Yet you affirm a God-given right to hold any alien religious doctrine that appeals to the warped minds of men? I do, my lord. I find your views impossible of belief. And what of those who, if left to their own devices, would have no interest in things heavenly? Have they the right to be allowed to continue unmolested in their error? Should we not be able to beat them senseless for what they believe? What he's saying, isn't he? Should we not be able to force them to believe what we want them to believe? Well, the Church of England is nothing more than Roman Catholicism in British form. Because that's what they wanted to do. Oh, make them believe what I want. Force them. What is that? That's the beast system. Look. Here you go. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindred tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. See, the beast forced the worship. Government, body, mind, spirit, everything. But what does Romans 13 tell us? It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now he explains what that true rulership is. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So this is saying, Romans 13 is saying, you're only to be subject to things civilly. Not religious worship. Not to be forced in religious worship. Bunyan said this, it is my fervent belief that they do, my Lord. He says here, let me go back up and read what Judge Wingate said. I find your views impossible of belief, and that of those who, if left to their own devices, would have no interest in things heavenly, have they the right to be allowed to continue unmolested in their error? It is my fervent belief that they do, my Lord. And on what basis, might I ask, can you make such a rash affirmation? Bunyan said this, on the basis, my Lord, that a man's religious views or lack of them are matters between his conscience and his God and are not the business of the crown, the parliament, or even, with all due respect, my Lord, of the court. This is a Baptist distinctive. It is separation of church and state. It is one of the seven or eight Baptist distinctives that Baptists hold to, a separation of church and state. That the church should not control the state, nor the state the church. It is not separation of God and state. It is separation of church and state. It's what the anonymous prisoner of Newgate fought for. It's what Obadiah Holmes fought for when the Puritans were beating him over in Massachusetts. Over in Massachusetts, Obadiah Holmes was beaten because they baptized a convert and held a church service in a house against the Puritans' wishes. Remember, those same Puritans, though, they were persecuted earlier on by the Roman Catholic Church, and they turned around and did the exact same thing to the Baptist. Bunyan goes on to say, however much I may be in disagreement with another man's sincerely held religious beliefs, neither I nor any other may disallow his right to hold these beliefs. So Bunyan said, listen, I disagree with them. Hey, guess what? I preach against charismatic doctrine. I preach against the daughters of Rome. I preach against infant baptism. I preach against all those things. But I preach against Roman Catholicism, but I wouldn't lay a finger, I wouldn't lay a hair on their head. But I would preach the Bible to them, and I would show them their errors, and I would pray that God would save their souls. But I would, under no circumstances, try to take the sword of civil government and wield it against them to get them to believe what I want them to believe. Because it is phony, it is hypocritical. It is not real Bible faith. We find an account of that in the scriptures as well. Hang on. Let's see. Luke chapter 9. Verse number 50, and Jesus said to them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and set messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. They were offended because the Samaritans were offended that Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They went to another village. So, in other words, biblically speaking, we're not because they're heretics and because they're wrong, we ought not put them to death like the Muslims or the Roman Catholics did during the Inquisition, and the Church of England did in England, and the Crown did in England. Valentine Whiteman was put to death. Bunyan said, however much I may be in disagreement with another man's sincerely held religious beliefs, neither I nor any other may disallow his right to hold these beliefs. No man's rights in these affairs are secure if every other man's rights are not equally secure. You see, Bunyan understood this. What that means is this. If you don't defend the Muslim's right to believe in his false god, then you are not going to have the right to believe in your God. That's how it works. If you don't have the right to worship your God, then they won't have the right to worship theirs. Even though we vehemently disagree with what they hold to, even though we absolutely disagree with their position and we believe they're wrong, even though it doesn't matter, they still have the right to be wrong. Absolutely, have the right to be wrong. And we have to give them that right. We have to recognize that right. Excuse me, not give it to them, recognize it. Judge Wingate said this. It is obvious, sir, that you are a victim of deranged thinking. See? So he attacked his intellect, and he said that you are deranged in your mind. Remember that sermon I preached a long time ago on the end times attack? The end times attack on Bible believers will be to say that they're crazy. Because that's what they're doing. They're saying he's crazy. Right? He's just crazy. However much I may be in disagreement with another man sincerely held religious beliefs. So Judge Wingate says, it's obviously you're a victim of deranged thinking. If my ears deceive me not, I must infer from your words that you believe the state to have no interest in the religious life of its subjects. The state, my lord, may have an interest in anything in which it wishes to have an interest. But the state has no right whatever to interfere in the religious life of its citizens. You are a tinker by trade, are you not, Mr. Bunyan? See, this is how they insult him. You're not a very educated man. Is that correct, Mr. Bunyan? You're kind of an idiot, aren't you, Mr. Bunyan? Right? Right? You're just kind of an idiot, Mr. Bunyan, aren't you? You don't have a very good education. That's what they accused him of, right? You are a tinker by trade, are you not, Mr. Bunyan? That is correct, my lord. Would you mind apprising this court of the extent of your formal schooling? Would you please apprise this court of the extent of your formal schooling? I had somebody ask me that. That's one thing they like to throw up to me all the time. So where did you go to university? Where did you go to the seminary? Do you have a degree, my good man? That's the first thing they attack is your education. Why? Because you're simply giving them answers. He's simply giving him Bible answers is all he's giving him. Bunyan said, not at all, my lord. Able I am to read and write, and that with difficulty. I surmised as much. I think I perceive why you are unable to appreciate the disaster that would accompany your views should ever they hold sway in our society. I myself, and I say this in all modesty, am not inconsiderably trained in the historian's discipline. If you were half so well versed yourself, you would instantly recognize the fatal flaw in your reasoning. Throughout history, virtually every significant human tragedy has come about as a result of divergent religious views. Nation against nation, brother against brother. War, destruction, devastation, time and time again. And why? I shall tell you why, sir. It is because men cannot agree on which God to worship and how to worship him. See, what he's saying is that what he's saying is that, well, you're just kind of stupid. You're like one of those ignorant fishermen. I mean, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are having an opinion? You know how dangerous it is, he's saying, for men to disagree religiously? So it's better for us to force them to believe what they believe. Better for us to force them. Now, after a long and arduous struggle, we have succeeded in forging a conformity in the religious beliefs of all Englishmen. All our problems will be resolved when everyone finally agrees to accommodate himself and adopt the same orthodoxy of religious opinion. No more religious wars, no more divisive doctrinal disputes. Think of it, Mr. Bunyan. Does this not pretend a society of which any man would be proud and happy to be a part? To a degree, my lord, it admittedly does, but only if everyone can be convicted by virtue of reasoning alone to adopt identical views of God. The society that you describe is an appealing one, but I fear the cost is far too high. It would necessitate that honest men repudiate convictions honestly held. You are, Mr. Bunyan, a strong-willed and opinionated man. Yet the court finds it fascinating to speak with you and wishes, time permitted, further discussion of our respective philosophies. But alas, time is passing swiftly and other cases await our attention. Let us move then to the matter before us, shall we? The evidence I hold in my hand, even apart from your own admission of guilt, is sufficient to convict you, and the court is within its right to have you committed to prison for a considerable long time. I do not wish to send you to prison, Mr. Bunyan. I am aware of the poverty of your family and believe you have a little daughter who unfortunately was born blind. Is this not so? See, he used his blind daughter. That's what he did. You see how he twisted that and used his blind daughter? It is, my lord. Very well. The decision of the court is this. It is much as the accused has confessed his guilt, we shall follow a merciful and compassionate course of action. We shall release him on the condition that he swears solemnly to discontinue the convening of religious meetings, and that he affix his signature to such an oath prior to quitting the courtroom. That will be all, Mr. Bunyan. I hope not to see you here again. May we hear the next case. My lord, if I may have another moment of the court's time. Yes, but you must be quick about it. We have other matters to attend. What is it? I cannot do what you ask of me, my lord. I cannot place my signature upon any document in which I promise henceforth not to preach. My calling to preach the gospel is from God. He alone can make me discontinue what he has appointed me to do. As I have had no word from him to that effect, I must continue to preach, and I shall continue to preach. Mr. Bunyan, you are trying the patience of this court. It is not my intention, my lord. I warn you, sir, the court has gone the second mile to be lenient with you, out of concern for your family's difficult straits. Truth to tell, it would appear that the court's concern for your family exceeds your own. Do you wish to go to prison? No, my lord, few things there are that I would wish less. Well then, Mr. Bunyan, this court will make one further attempt in good faith to accommodate what appears to be strongly held convictions on your part. In this compassion and beneficence, our sovereign, Charles II, has made provision for dissenting preachers to hold some limited meetings. All that is required is that such ministers procure licenses authorizing them to convene these gatherings. The court will not require you to sign any documents, but will require on your verbal commitment to proceed through proper channels to obtain licenses. You will not find that procedure burdensome, and even you, Mr. Bunyan, must surely grant the legitimacy of the state's interest in ensuring that any fool with a Bible does not simply gather a group of people together and begin to preach to them. Well, then, let's stop there for a second and talk about that. I hope you're all paying attention and not getting distracted by trade school and by college and by everything else. I hope you're paying attention to the content here. It is rich historically, and there's a lot for you to learn from it. The struggles that went on before. But notice what he said here. He said the state's interest in ensuring that any fool with a Bible does not simply gather a group of people together and begin to preach to them. Imagine the implications were that to happen. Can you comply with this condition, Mr. Bunyan? Before you answer, mark you this. Should you refuse, the court will have no alternative but to sentence you to a prison term. Think, sir, of your poor wife. Think of your flock, who can hear you to your heart's content when you shall have secured your licenses. Think on these things and give us your answer, sir. My lord, I appreciate the court's efforts to be, as you have put it, accommodating. But again, I must refuse your terms. I must repeat that it is God who constrains me to preach. No man or company of men may grant or deny me leave to preach. These licenses of which you speak, my lord, are symbols not of a right, but of a privilege. Implied therein is the principle that a mere man can extend or withhold them according to his whim. I speak not of privileges, but of rights. Privileges granted by men may be denied by men. Rights are granted by God and can be legitimately denied by no man. I must therefore refuse to comply. Okay, Michelle's paying attention. Amen. Judge Wingate, very well, Mr. Bunyan. Since you persist in your intractability, and since you reject this court's honest effort at compromise, you leave us no choice but to commit you to Bedford Jail for a period of 6 years. If you manage to survive, I should think that your experience will correct your thinking. If you fail to survive, that will be unfortunate. In any event, I strongly suspect that we have heard the last we shall ever hear from Mr. John Bunyan. Now may we hear the next case. I know you're listening, Hannah. Okay. Anyway, so that is the trial, and that was the sentence that sent him to jail. Okay. So, we'll get into a little bit of a chronology of his life. Let's see. But let's look at some pictures here. This man was the, in memory of John Brown, the biographer of Bunyan, who was minister of this church, 1864 to 1903, so he gathered all the materials. So Mr. Valiant for Truth passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. That's awesome. You gotta read Pilgrim's Progress to understand that. Here is Christian fighting Apollyon. He has his armor on. He got saved. Has his armor on. Some of you, this will not be significant to you unless you read the book or listen to the audio. He hath given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death. This is where Christian's burden rolls off his back and he gets saved by the grace of God. This is faithful helping Christian. Helping him up along the way here. This is Christian climbing the hill of difficulty. So this all pictures Bunyan's life in allegory, but Bunyan would have wrote much of this. I like what this man said. Daniel Rich died 1722, his age about 80 years. Although Abraham Beinornt of me and Israel acknowledge me not, yet it was my desire to follow in the footsteps of Christ's flock 60 years, and I hope and believe Christ Jesus, his blood was spilt upon the cross and can justify and save me from the lowest of hell. Amen. Here is this amazing door here of the chapel here. What this is. Church was founded in 1650. Right there. That would have been when the Bedford Church that Bunyan was a part of. This was a picture of like the pulpit that would have been there. This is me standing there. That pulpit. Right? That would be in like the Bunyan Chapel there. This is Bunhill Fields. Yes, that's the pulpit he preached his last sermon in. That's correct, Brother Carl. This is Bunhill Fields. Now, let me talk to you about Bunhill Fields. This is the this is an amazing graveyard in the sense of, like, I mean, just the history that's there, the bodies that were buried there. We know their souls are with the Lord. Okay? But this is the tomb of Bunyan. His body is in there. His soul is with the Lord, right? Be absent in the body is be present with the Lord. But this graveyard, and I wanted to find the gravesite. Isaac Watts is buried here too. There's other Baptist pastors that were buried here. And I wanted to find Isaac Watts' grave so bad, just to take a picture of it, just because Isaac Watts' hymns have meant so much to me. You know, and just the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. So anyway, Bunyan died in London and he was buried here at Bunhill Fields. He is the author of Pilgrim's Progress. Okay, and this is his tomb. And it's funny because laying on top of that, on top of there is Christian, you know, the character of Pilgrim's Progress laying on top of there. And it's fascinating, really. But that's who that is. That's Pilgrim on the top of that as a picture of, you know, Pilgrim being there in the grave. And we'll go around, kind of look at some of these. I have other pictures. Restored by public subscription under the presidency of the Right Honorable Earl of Shaftesbury. So because of the historical significance of John Bunyan, you know, they restored it.
Yeah.
That's the top of that. Now, I took a picture of this. This is the church building when Bunyan was christened in this church. So he was not saved yet. But many say that this is the wicket gate in Pilgrim's Progress. This is where Bunyan got the idea. This is what he pictured when he talked about the wicket gate, how he had to get to the wicket gate. Right? Do you see yonder light? Remember that? And he was headed for the wicket gate. Well, this is the wicket gate. Not wicked with a D, but wicket. This is that wicket gate. And this is that church that he went through. This church was very old. It was from 1078 or something like that. Very old church. And that is, when John Bunyan talked about the wicket gate in allegory, that's what he was referring to. That's the way he saw that as the beginning of, you know, his pilgrimage, kind of. And there's me standing at the wicket gate. Right there. Pretty cool, huh? So it's kind of interesting, but some locals took us around to this, and Brother Andrew's aunt's, Rachel's aunt, showed us these places. Now, look at this right here. This place was amazing. I have more pictures, but this is believed to be the House Beautiful, okay? Remember in Bunyan's story, the House Beautiful. Well, Bunyan was a tinker, and he traveled around, okay? Peddling is fixing things, and he would travel around in a circuit. And this House Beautiful, this would have been a magnificent mansion at the time 400 years ago. And when Bunyan looked at it, it was a ginormous and beautiful house. Just built at that time. And Bunyan would have went there to fix some things at the house. So when he was there fixing things, he would have seen this house. And it was magnificent. And this is where he got the idea for the House Beautiful. That's where he would have gotten it. Let me see. Right. So it's a beautiful place. I mean, it really is. I did some videos there, and we'll have more later on that. Find it. I'll show you. Let me find it. Get to. On a second. I'll get it for you. Bummer. Actually, I know how to do it. I can do it this way. Give me a second. Second. Gotta go to jolly old England. Here it is. It. 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 Here. There we go. Now, let me show you. This is a field, and this is a field outside of that church building that you just saw. That is Vanity Fair. This is where Bunyan got the idea. That's why there's a marker here at Elstow. This is where Bunyan got the idea for Vanity Fair. Because outside of here, there would be people peddling their wares, and they would be selling things, and they would have kind of circuses, and they would have all these other things. Right? And it would be right in this field that they would have, that's where he would get the idea for Vanity Fair. That's what he pictured when he talked about Vanity Fair. And this building here, and we'll have better video when we put everything together. These are just preliminary broadcasts that I'm doing for you, but we'll have that. There we go. This was like where all the sheriff was and the court was in this field, where the court would do business and where the sheriff was and all that kind of stuff, law enforcement. And then over in this field to the left is where Vanity Fair was. That's where all the town did all their fun and all that kind of stuff. So I'll show you, this is a field. The field right across the way where all this stuff was going on. This is where Bunyan would come up with the idea while he was in prison. He would picture you picture Vanity Fair, this field would be full of vendors. It would be full of vendors. It would be full of, you know, all those things. So anyway, that's where he pictured that Vanity Fair. Now, Bunyan, his life, and I mean, we don't have time to go through this whole chronology because it's huge, but I'll give you some of the highlights of it. Bunyan's military service was in November of 1644 to 1647. He marries his wife, his first wife. His wife dies in July 20th, 1650. Bunyan's blind daughter, Mary, is baptized at Elstow on this date. She was born in the little roadside dwelling in Elstow known as Bunyan's Cottage. This is before, obviously, she got saved. This was, you know, pre his salvation time. Bunyan begins to come into Bedford from Elstow to listen to the preaching of John Gifford, a godly man who had been converted to Christ after he escaped imprisonment as a royalist soldier. Formerly a great drinker, gamester, and swearer, he turned to Christ and served him faithfully for the rest of his life. Bunyan is received into the membership of St. John's. The roll of members has been kept from the foundation of the church in 1650, and Bunyan's name appears on the list. Oliver Cromwell was named Lord Protector of the Commonwealth. Bunyan moves to Bedford. John Gifford, his friend, dies, is pastor, having pastored John for 5 years. Bunyan moves to Bedford. In his day, the population is between 1,000 and 2,000. His life is darkened by sorrow. First, he is very sick and thinks he will die. Second, his wife dies and leaves him to be the father and mother of four children, including his blind daughter, Mary. Bunyan is asked to speak a word of exhortation in their gatherings at St. John's, his first preaching of the word. God's call becomes evident in those who hear him. John Burton becomes St. John's second pastor, a man of delicate health. Let's see. Bunyan becomes entangled in a controversy with the Quakers and writes his first book, Some Gospel Truths Opened According to the Scriptures. This is where he reproves the Quakers for their false doctrine. Bunyan then marries his second wife, Elizabeth, who bears him three more children because his first wife died. As Bunyan preaches Daniel Anger's barn in Cambridgeshire, Thomas Smith, professor of Arabic, reader, and rhetoric, and lecturer at Christ College and Cambridge University, walks in and he challenges Bunyan after the sermon and tells him he is not fit to preach the gospel, calling his preaching a piece of presumption. Bunyan publishes his fourth book, The Doctrine of Law and Grace Unfolded. Then King Charlie II enters London and begins his reign on the 30th birthday. 1660, Bunyan's pastor dies again, his next pastor. In autumn of 1660, St. John's church building is taken away from the congregation by the restoration of King Charles II. So the king is back, and the king takes the building. Listen to this. November 12th, 1660, Bunyan holds a conventicle, an illegal religious worship at the little hamlet of Lower Samsel by Harlington, about 13 miles south of Bedford. Magistrate Francis Wingate issues a warrant against him that if he persists in preaching, he'll be arrested. He is arrested at night, and the constable and Bunyan stay nearby till morning when they depart for Bedford on foot. His wife Elizabeth is pregnant with their first child. The news of his arrest causes her to go into labor for 8 days. The child dies. Francis Wingate, the judge, puts Bunyan in the Bedford jail. Two interesting notes, by the way. Listen to this closely. The names of the Wingates die out at Harlington. All three sons of Sir Francis Wingate pass away childless. All the relatives of Sir Francis, the Wingates, Woodwards and Jennings, lie sleeping at the very foot of the steps leading up to those bronze memorial doors given by the Duke of Bedford in honor of Bunyan himself. Wingate's entire family died out. Bunyan appears for trial at the Palace of Justice. He is indicted for devilishly and perniciously abstaining from coming to church to hear divine service and for being a common upholder of several unlawful meetings and conventicles to the great disturbance and distraction of the good subjects of this kingdom. Contrary to the laws and distractions of the good subjects of this kingdom, contrary to the laws of our sovereign Lord, the King. Bunyan is taken to the county jail by the jailer. Bunyan gives a parting look at the judge and says, I am at a point with you. If I were out of prison today, I would preach the gospel again tomorrow by the help of God. The coronation of Charles II in honor of the event, many in jail look for royal clemency and receive it. Bunyan does not. Three times Bunyan appeals for a hearing in open court through his wife. Sir Matthew Hale and other judges reject her appeals. Bunyan's 12-year imprisonment, he is allowed occasionally freedom, supports his family by making shoelaces, preaches to those in prison with him, some of whom are his fellow church. During this time, it's interesting, they let Bunyan out of jail at different times, the jailer would. Bunyan would actually have two children with his wife while he was under the confines of that 12 years. So there was times that they let him out for a few days and he would have to go back. They'd let him out for a short amount of time to visit his family and his wife, provide for them, and then let him back out. Bunyan makes another strong appeal to get his case brought to court without success. Samuel Finn and John Whiteman are elected pastors of the Bedford Church. He writes Praying in the Spirit. Bunyan writes his third prison book, Christian Behavior, with the words, John Bunyan, A Prisoner of Hope, title. More works from Bunyan's pen, Serious Meditations on the Four Last Things, Ebel and Gerizim, two poetic works, The Holy City, The Resurrection of the Dead, Prison Meditations, dedicated to the heart of suffering saints and reigning sinners. The Great Plague of 1665 devastates London and even touches Bedford. With no fewer than 40 people dying on the north side of the river, over 100,000 people die of the plague. He writes Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners in 1666, his spiritual autobiography. About this time, he also has a few weeks' brief release from his imprisonment. Bunyan imprisoned once again. Charles Doe, the comb maker who came to know Bunyan in the last 3 years of his life through hearing him preach, tells us, a little after his release, they took him again at a meeting and put him in the same jail where he lay 6 more years. We know less about the second imprisonment than we do the first. In his first, he writes no less than 9 books. In his second, only 2, The Confession of Faith and The Defense of the Doctrine of Justification by Faith. The Great Fire of London breaks out at a baker's shop in 1666 in Pudding Lane. Destroys 80% of the city, including 13,000 homes, 89 churches, and 52 company guilds. Pastor John Whiteman dies. Bunyan is elected pastor of the Bedford Church. Bunyan accepts the pastorate of the Nonconformist Church, though still in jail. Bunyan may have been released as early as March, even before the general pardon is issued. Bunyan's 3 years of liberty, exercises pastoral duties in Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire, nicknamed Bishop Bunyan, still occasionally working as a tinker. Bunyan is licensed as a teacher under Charles II's Declaration of Indulgence, a friend of the Congregation of St. John's, which has been without property for 12 years, meeting in houses, in fields, and in woods, purchases an orchard in Mill Lane, on which there is a barn. The barn is licensed as their place of meeting. The barn is sold to John Bunyan and his friends in the church. For the next 16 years of his life, the barn is the center of Bunyan's activity. The general pardon under which John Bunyan is released from jail is witnessed on this day at Westminster in London. The pardon is extended as required by law so that Bunyan's name appears 11 times, spelled 4 different ways. Bunyan's son Joseph is baptized in 1672. Bunyan writes Differences in Judgment about Water Baptism. Bunyan is imprisoned for 6 months in the Bedford jail, the latter half of 1675. In the early part of 1676, he writes Pilgrim's Progress when he is 47 years old. Bunyan writes Peaceable Principles and True Light for Them That Sit in Darkness. He writes The Straight Gate in prison. Bunyan's father dies and buried in February 7th. So many works he wrote here. Bunyan publishes The Life and Death of Mr. Badman, a sequel to The Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan's father's wife, Anne Bunyan, dies and is buried in Woolen, September 25th. Anyway, you can read this timeline yourself. It is at pgi.org/download/Pilgrim's Progress there. and you could find it. So much good stuff here, but I won't go into it. We're going to move on here. I got to get going here. But anyway, so there you go. Bunyan would end up going to London to preach. He would preach, and Bunyan would die of a cold. He would be caught in a storm, and he would die of pneumonia or some kind of lung problem, some kind of cold. He would get very sick, get very feverish, and he would die at this man's house. And he would be buried in Bunhill Fields. Charles Spurgeon, 200 years later, nearly 200 years later, Bunyan's tomb was restored and dedicated. Charles Spurgeon would speak at length in the City Road Chapel in the afternoon, as it was too wet to hold anything but a brief service at the grave. So they would honor that man 200 years later. Spurgeon would honor Bunyan's legacy. And anyway, you can read that entire timeline. That's a great one. Hope you learned some things from everything here. Lots of interesting facts and about Bunyan's life, but what a hero of the faith that we see here. We're totally blessed by his life and his legacy. And, you know, I think about him when when the Lord led me to stay away from 501c3 and led me to stay away from, you know, all those entanglements of the state and everything that our Baptist forefathers fought so desperately for. You know, and be it far from me to compromise with the government when we're not even forced to. You know, that was something that the Lord spoke to my heart about. And Bunyan's trial impacted me later on when I read it during that same time period. So if you go back and you listen, I have Bunyan's trial. I read that manuscript one time years ago, probably 12 years ago. So anyway, you could find that there. Hopefully you learned a lot from that. Anyway, so you pray for us. Okay, remember my schedule coming up here. I will be gone next week, next Thursday. I'll be taking off with my family for a couple weeks on vacation, you know, 10, 12 days, whatever it is, something like that. I'll miss two Sundays and one Wednesday and then be back in the swing of things ready for June and all the challenges that come up in all the preaching events for the summer and, you know, all that good stuff. So you pray for us. Got most of the bills paid for the trip. There's a few incidentals left that cost us a little bit extra than I thought. So if you want to give towards that, please consider giving towards that or just generally towards the ministry. We could definitely use it always. There's always a need somewhere with something. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can do Apple Pay. You can do Venmo. You can do Cash App, PayPal, whatever it is the Lord leads you to do. You can mail us something if you'd like to. The address is at the bottom of our sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page. If you don't want to do nothing, don't worry about it. You're still my friend. We're not in it for money. We're in it for Jesus. So God will provide. And if you can't do anything about it, then would you please pray that God would use somebody else to give? That God answered those prayers before. He'll answer them again. Okay, but if you want to mail us something, you can mail us at 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. All right, that's the address there. Anyway, God bless you all. We will be back again on Friday for a Q&A on Europe and on all the travels and all the food challenges and all the fun stuff and just everything like that, okay? But hopefully you learned some things from it and you were blessed by it. Amen. I got to go charge my Mac. I can't believe it's dead. I must have killed it. Dead or a doornail. Anyway, but hope it was a blessing to you all. God bless you all. Take care. Brother Ross will be praying for you. Stay out of trouble. Don't be knocking any bagpipers around. I saw the video of the bagpiper that was going after the old man, and Ross put some distance between those two, it'll get laughed out, I'm sure of that. But we need to pray to that end that the Lord would make sure that that happens and all that good stuff. Anyway, God bless you all. We'll talk to you soon. Hope you're all doing well, and look forward to being back Friday, 2 p.m. Central Time. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.